How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Joined today, as always, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. It is the final week before WrestleMania, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about today, including the biggest show of the year for WWE. We'll run down the latest lineup for the show. There have been some changes since we talked about the show last week on this program. Talk all about that, the entire WrestleMania weekend. There are a lot of shows going on down in Phoenix. If you plan on heading down there, there's ROH, there's Dragon Gate USA, there's the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. We'll talk about some of the guys going into that. And much, much more. It is also week three of the Monday Night Wars tomorrow night. And I know that's been a topic of conversation for a lot of people in the last couple of weeks, although it really is not much of a war. And it's actually getting more and more lopsided as the weeks go on. We'll talk about the TNA rating from this past Monday night, what they did to make a change, shake things up this past week, and how that resulted, or what that resulted in for them. Very interesting story. We'll look at the ratings for the program, and we'll talk about people switching sides. Are people watching Raw and Impact at the same time? Are they still only watching one show? What is going on? We'll talk about it here on the show today. It's also a big night this evening, the TNA pay-per-view, Designation X. Kevin Nash referred to it as. That is tonight on pay-per-view and going head-to-head with the pay-per-view, which, by the way, starts moments after we go off the air here on this show this afternoon. Going head-to-head with the TNA pay-per-view is UFC on Versus One. There's a UFC show and a TNA pay-per-view going head-to-head. We're going to talk about the lineups for both. We'll talk about which show you should check out, if either. It'll be an interesting question there. It's quite the lineup for both programs here this evening. And we'll also talk about next week's, not really a head-to-head battle, but it's on the same weekend. WWE's WrestleMania is running head-to-head with the George St. Pierre Dan Hardy show, which, in fact, Mike Sempervivi will be attending. So we'll talk about that, plus all the TV this week. NXT, SmackDown, TNA, Raw, UFC in Germany has had some problems. We'll talk some big lucha shows and so much more. Also, your phone calls and emails throughout the next 2 hours should be a fun time as always. We'll be back in just a moment to kick off this show. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here to talk pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, take your phone calls and emails for the next 2 hours. And is 2 hours enough to contain all this news? I don't know. Mike, it's a big weekend, starts tonight, and a big week coming up, and then next weekend is the biggest show of the year, WrestleMania. Going head-to-head with the George St. Pierre Dan Hardy fight on pay-per-view as well on Saturday night. And have you got a chance to see all of the St. Pierre Dan Hardy hype specials on Spike?
You know what? I haven't really had a chance to. In fact, believe it or not, I've actually seen the Vera Jones hype specials more than I've seen the GSP Hardy ones. But, you know, I don't think it's going to need it as far as pay-per-view numbers go and everything else. I mean, there's a lot that's going into this George St. Pierre a fight. Obviously, he's their number one poster boy. Arguably, he's the biggest Canadian mixed martial artist out there. You have talk of him possibly going to the Olympics afterwards and beginning training for that. So, you know, a lot of great stuff going into this. I have been a little bit surprised in that Dan Hardy, even during the telephone press conference that they did, I figured he'd be doing a little more hype and talking it up a little bit more. But he doesn't seem to be doing that. But, again, I don't think it needs it with that and with Frank Mir and Shane Carwin on there. I think the fight's going to actually do very, very well. And the fact it's being held outside New York, too, obviously helps.
Yeah, I think everybody was expecting he would be a little more outgoing and wild than he has been. Maybe some would even say he's kind of dropped the ball on the promotion of the show. I guess we'll see. I was not blown away by the first one. I've got the second one on tape. I got to watch it later on today. I'm actually very behind on watching a lot of different things. There's a lot of stuff on television, including, we'll talk about it a little bit later, you now get Wrestlicious on your Comcast, so we'll discuss that. But you mentioned the Jones versus Vera hype special, and that show, of course, is tonight. It's going head-to-head with the TNA pay-per-view, and that one's kind of funny because it's UFC on Versus One, And on Friday, I did a news update at WrestlingObserver.com. I think it was Friday. Maybe it was on the Brian and Vinny show. I don't remember. But anyway, I was talking about the show and made mention of the fact that, you know, I said Gabriel Gonzaga and Junior Dos Santos. That's the main event. Who could possibly care? Something along those lines. And then someone corrected me and said, Brian, ridiculous. That's not the main event. The main event is Brandon Vera and Bones Jones. And I thought, is that make any difference whatsoever? I mean, either fight. I mean, I guess if you're, I don't know, actually he's a hardcore fan. I would almost think the Junior Dos Santos fight is a little more intriguing because there's a guy that could be in the heavyweight. I mean, he's in the mix, but he could be getting a title shot very, very soon. Obviously, they've kind of got a mini tournament of sorts going on with Carwin and Mir coming up this weekend. And then, you know, Brock is going to likely be facing the winner of that. But, I mean, Junior Dos Santos is way up there. And Brandon Vera still in 2010. And Bones Jones, I mean, I like Bones Jones, but I actually would consider the Gabriel Gonzaga, Junior Dos Santos match the bigger fight this evening.
Yeah, I actually would, too, just because, you know, Dos Santos is still undefeated. He's, you know, he's right there underneath those other guys. And, you know, Carwin, you know, somebody's going to have a loss. Either Mir or Carwin's going to have a loss after this. You got Nogueira, even though Nogueira looked like, you know, a zillion bucks, he got knocked out quick. And obviously, you know, he slips down and Dos Santos can slip up there a little bit. So, yeah, that actually is a far more intriguing fight, especially because of the Vera Couture fight from last time. I mean, yeah, I guess it could be argued that Vera won, but, you know, again, even though you could argue that, I thought Couture pretty much won, and I think, you know, like 75% of the people, you know, watching it thought that too, so you have that on there, and then you have Chick Congo and Buntello, which, you know, obviously Congo needs to get his man back after being knocked out the way he was by Frank Mir, but you get that on there as far as a big knockout on the debut of Versus, but... Again, this is, I don't want to say it's an underwhelming card or anything like that. I mean, it needs to be done now that UFC's on Versus, but, again, not as
It's an underwhelming card.
It's not as much TV as, like, WEC is.
No, I'll say it. I mean, if you're looking at this as, I mean, I always look at these things. I mean, I watch all the UFCs, I watch all the WECs, and I follow it, obviously, very closely. I would consider myself a hardcore fan, but I always look at this like I look at a lot of these shows in the sense that I have a lot of friends that some of them come over for wrestling, some of them come over from MMA, some come over for both. And I look at my friends that are casual fans, and I have a lot of them. And those friends would look at this card and not care at all. And, you know, it's kind of... I mean, you're doing UFC on Versus, and I guess they're trying to use the UFC name, and you know, it's part of the new deal that they signed to do a couple of UFC shows on Versus, and I kind of just thought, like, the first show would be a bigger event. Like, you'd want to kick it off with a fairly big show, and I mean, it's just like a show that I look at that lineup, and I don't see this doing all that great a number on Versus.
No, it probably won't. I mean, this is equivalent to the January Spike show, the fight night show they had in Fairfax, Virginia, which, you know, was just a show so Spike could have a show. I mean, this is two now in 3 months, and, you know, it was really more of a surprise to me in the fact that they took that one, you know, in January, so they just didn't take it seriously because you could have, you know, you're right outside Washington, D.C. I thought they could have been more politicking and lobbying and made it a bigger deal, but it was an afterthought of a show, and I guess, really, I mean, this, in a lot of the same way, it's just an afterthought of the show, but as you continue on to try to, you know, build your TV everywhere, and, you know, I guess you're going to have to do shows like this.
I often wonder also how big, I mean, Brandon Vera, obviously, I think people know his name, but, I mean, I always kind of wonder if, like, guys like John Jones and Junior Dos Santos, I wonder if they've really gotten over to the casual audience to the degree that UFC obviously thinks they have, since they're in the first and second fight on the show here. I kind of think about it because I also think about Shane Carwin. And, you know, I always hear from people that attend a lot of UFC events talking about Shane Carwin, and they're always putting him over and talking about his upcoming fight with Mir and all that. And, you know, I've been new to a lot of UFC events as well, and it's very different being there live. And you see a guy like Bones Jones look really, really good, and then he comes back to the press conference, and everybody's raving about him. And when you're there at the press conference and people are raving about the guy, it makes him seem like kind of a bigger deal. And people at home don't understand that because they don't see the press conference. And I always wonder, because, I mean, I was thinking about Shane Carwin, for example, and, you know, there's a lot of talk in UFC and among reporters and such about Shane Carwin. But I always kind of sit there and I think, you know, Shane Carwin, I think to this day, has had only one fight air on television. Like all of these Shane Carwin fights that, that the people in UFC and the reporters and such remember, those were all dark matches. And I'm almost positive that only one of them has ever aired on TV. So if you're a casual fan and you hear the name Shane Carwin, you may remember him. You may. But most likely you won't because he's only fought on television that one time.
Well, and the thing that helps him is they when people do see that, they see heavyweight and they see an undefeated record, and it sticks with them a little more than maybe somebody else would. Because, I mean, look at this cartoon. If you think about it, it's obviously the person, there's going to be some random person watching Versus for the first time who happens upon the UFC show. But realistically, the people that are happy it's on Versus are UFC fans anyway, you'd have to assume. And who do they know more? Do they know Brandon Vera and John Jones more, or do they know Clay Guida and Brendan Schaub?
Well, I know they know, it's actually Shannon, is it Shannon Guggerty? I think it is. There may have been a change here, but regardless, yes, Clay Guida's on the show, and they put him in the, they put him on the undercard. He may not even air on TV. It's astounding.
Yeah, and Schaub was just, you know, just on The Ultimate Fighter, or at least on the last season of The Ultimate Fighter, and, you know, I bet you, you know, I guess diehards will know all four, so that won't matter. But, I mean, I think realistically, people would have known those two more than they would have known, you know, Tech Congo or Paul Buntello.
Are you talking about the, oh, okay, I was completely confused. I thought you were talking Clay Guida and Brendan Schaub fighting. It's like...
No. Okay. But at least it's,
yes, both of those guys, or even Dwayne Ludwig. Dwayne Bang, yeah, Ludwig, he's on the undercard as well. I mean, I don't know, it's an interesting card. And we're gonna talk more about this show, and we're going to talk about the UFC show. I'm sorry, the TNA show, which is going head-to-head. We'll talk about the Destination X pay-per-view. That's coming up next. We'll take your phone calls and emails as well. We got a lot of stuff on the show today. We're just now getting started. Another hour and a half of pro wrestling and MMA talk. We'll be right back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here to take your phone calls and emails, talk your pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the next hour and a half. And we were talking about the UFC on Versus show tonight, which goes head-to-head with the TNA pay-per-view. And Mike, any final thoughts on that UFC show?
Nope, just going to watch it. I think Vera wins a decision. I think Dos Santos wins by knockout, and I think Congo wins by knockout. And outside of that, I mean, just hopefully it ends up being one of those sneaky shows that comes off and is just exciting the whole time and gets some replay love. But I just think people are going to end up missing it. Although the fact that Versus has now brokered that deal again, or at least Comcast, whoever owns Versus, has brokered the deal with DirecTV, you know, that doesn't hurt.
So you think Bones Jones is losing tonight?
I do indeed.
Interesting. Well, he's actually...
Vera, although I don't think it's going to be all that actually spectacular of the fight.
Yeah, he's... I always wonder about guys that you know, we always see guys that have quick stoppages and they run through people for a while. And question always comes, what happens when you have to go three rounds? And I guess, you know, at some point it happens to nearly everybody, so we'll see. A lot of these guys, I mean, there are a lot of guys that look like they have just a ton of potential, and most of them probably do, but there are probably going to be a few that end up being, I don't know, it's a bad analogy, especially with Bone Jones, but Houston Alexander, a guy like that. So we shall see. But going head-to-head tonight with the UFC pay-per-view is the TNA Destination X show, which is live on pay-per-view. And I don't know. Again, it's a pay-per-view. TNA is it's kind of funny because when TNA on January 4th, when they went head-to-head, it resulted in like a big increase in house show business. Didn't really translate into pay-per-view buys. You kind of would think that it should have, but it didn't because they don't do a good job building up their pay-per-views. And now we've got a second Monday Night War. It has been 2 weeks of head-to-head battles. And one would think that with all of the interest in a new Monday Night War, there'd be a lot of people wanting to get the next TNA pay-per-view, but that is not, in fact, the case. And this is an interesting show. I mean, I guess the main event is AJ and Abyss for the title. And underneath that, there's just a bunch of matches which have somewhat been built up on TV. Some have not. And I don't feel it. I don't feel a lot of people buying this show.
No, I mean, what do they average now? Has it slipped to like 18 or something like that, the 1,000 people? I mean, it's, you know, they'll probably just do the same thing again. But they're certainly not going to add anything in because what did, you know, it's like what we've been saying about the TV thing. Why are they giving you a reason to watch when we talk about the Hulk Hogan segments and, you know, multiple, you know, beatings on AJ Styles as far as who the number one contender is and all that. It's like, why are they giving you a reason to watch? And really, why are they giving you a reason to buy? They haven't. You know, I think they almost would have been better off, you know, you doing an older TNA X, you know, Destination X, X Division show, you know, of old, and just having some stuff on top and actually promoted it that way, and you may have even gotten more buzz. But, I mean, there's just, I mean, if you look at it up and down, I mean, what's the reason to actually buy it?
The reason to buy
it
is
that you... It's not an insult. It's an honest question.
Well, the reason to buy it is that you buy all the pay-per-views. I mean, that's...
And that's it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at the lineup here very quickly. We got AJ and Abyss for the title, which was set up by Jeff Hardy pinning AJ on Impact last Monday. Okay?
Yep.
Poor job of build for this match. I mean, it's... What it basically is Ric Flair's guy versus Hulk Hogan's guy, with Flair and Hogan not in the match. They'll probably have a good match. I mean, I would be stunned if they didn't. Although, their best matches were when Abyss played the monster heel role and AJ Styles played the little babyface. And obviously, they're going to have to switch that up here because Abyss is a babyface and AJ Styles is a heel. So, I think the beginning and the finish will probably end up being pretty fun, but the middle portion of the match where AJ is working him over, I don't know about that one. Maybe it'll be great, but that's the main event. Not blown away by it. It's one of those things where, does it matter who the champion is? I mean, does it matter if Abyss gets a title for a while? I mean, they've already announced that next month it's AJ versus Pope for the title, so one would think that Abyss is not winning, but maybe they'll have to do a swerve now, since everybody knows. But I don't know, not blown away by the match. Presume AJ wins, and this is not a selling point for me.
Well, could you handle it if Abyss wins tonight, and then AJ Pope next month goes off according to plan, and Pope turns on AJ, and Flair turns on AJ, and AJ goes, you know, hopefully retains some of his promo work he's tried to acquire by hanging out with Ric Flair, and he goes back to being a babyface again, which to me would seem to make more sense.
You could try. Problem is, Pope has got to get a title shot, so somehow the belt would have to be on the line.
Well, that's true, I guess.
Kurt Angle and Mr. Anderson. Maybe their very first angle.
I thought it was already blown off twice.
Well, yes. When they did their first angle, I thought, this is a winner. And then they did their second angle, and then they did the third angle where they blew it off, and Kurt Angle beat up Mr. Anderson. He brought out the entire U.S. Army, it seemed. They all beat up Mr. Anderson. Kurt Angle stole his thing back, and he left Mr. Anderson laying and humiliated, and I thought, well, that's the end of that feud. But no, then they did a tag match for absolutely no reason on the next Impact, and Mr. Anderson busted up Kurt, and that set up this singles match. I could not possibly care less. It may be an okay match. I don't picture this being a great match. I think it will be fun to watch Kurt Angle beat the crap out of Mr. Anderson, but I don't picture this being 4 stars or anything like that. And again, not a selling point for me.
No, but I was actually really kind of looking forward to it because the stuff leading up to it was so good. And it was like, okay, you know, you forgot for a second that obviously Anderson in the ring is what he is, but he's going to be working with Kurt Angle, and you know, their mic work was great, the angles leading up were great, and it's like, and now it's time for the match. It's like, you know, all that interest I had to really be into it is kind of gone. I mean, I'm so interested in seeing how the match goes off. But it's, you know, and really on the card, it's, you know, it's one of the better matches on here, but again, it got the life sapped out of it before it even got to this point.
Then we've got the wild tag team match of Nash and Eric Young against Scott Hall and Six-Pac, where if Hall and Six-Pac win, they get TNA contracts. If they lose, they have to leave TNA for good. I don't even know where they go here. I mean, I presume they win and get contracts, but do you really need Hall and Waltman in TNA? They haven't been lighting the world on fire. Maybe they're willing to work for $100 each or whatever it is. I don't know, but not a selling point for me, to say the least.
No, again, same way. You know, I would hope that they lose. I'm figuring, why not? How about they win? You know, Kevin Nash turns on Eric Young, and Eric Young can join the Mick Foley, Jeff Jarrett, you know, originals being beat on by Eric Bischoff role or something like that.
I hadn't even thought of that, but yes, they could reunite the Wolfpack.
I mean,
in 2010.
You know, why not? They'll put it back in the opening again, and, you know.
We've got the X-Title match here for the... Wait a second. Who is defending the X-Title? Oh, it's Doug Williams and Shannon Moore.
Yeah, it's a very swollen-looking Shannon Moore.
I forgot we've got both a X-Division ladder match and an X-Division Ultimate X match, but neither of them are for the X-Division title. Sorry for the confusion, well, everybody.
Williams defending against Moore. And, yeah, I liked it a little bit more when it was Doug Williams and Kaz. But, all right, Shannon Moore, the Prince of Punk gimmick for the third time around with his, I forget exactly what he called his fan base, or his peoples in the TNA crowd. They're not Creatures of the Night. I forget what he called his group. But
maybe the Creepers of the Night.
Yeah, whatever they are. I just, again, you know, Shannon Moore, no offense to Shannon Moore at all, except he's never done a whole lot for me. I mean, you know, he is who he is. But, this doesn't really do anything for me. And I have a feeling Williams is going to lose the title, which is disappointing because with as many of the flippy-do guys as they have and all the other stuff that's, you know, around that X division or the lack of use that it's probably going to have, Doug Williams is a great guy who can work with everybody.
Yeah.
So I would like to see the title stay on him.
Ladder match, Kazarian, Daniels, Red, and Kendrick. A random ladder match to determine the number one contender to the X division title. Probably be a pretty good match, actually. I think part of the problem is I don't know. I guess I could see a version of this for free on Impact. It'll probably be longer on pay-per-view, but I don't feel that this is worth $44.95. It just, again, this doesn't do it for me, but I do expect it to be a good match, and if I have to buy the show, I'm happy to see this on the card.
Yeah, I guess so in a way, but it's like, you know, Kendrick came in with a title shot against Red, lost that. Yet Red, who was just the champion, yet Kazarian, who just lost his shot. So is it Christopher Daniels? Now, I'd like to see Christopher Daniels, you know, Doug Williams matches, but again, you know, what's been in the buildup of this, you know, outside of, you know, maybe Doug Williams looking like a fool and Kazarian last week looking like a fool and Daniels has looked like a fool. So what, you know, on TV, so what's been, you know, what's the reason to watch this match? You know, what's the selling point behind this outside of dudes doing moves off ladders?
And then we've got a tag match and a number one contenders tag match. The tag match is Morgan and Hernandez against Beer Money. And Morgan and Hernandez in storyline are teasing a breakup. And, of course, that leads me to think that they're going to break up Beer Money or something nutty. And so they're going to have that match. Then the winner will face the winner of Generation Me against the Motor City Machine Guns in an Ultimate X match to determine the number one contenders to the tag titles. And this is one of those things where I look at it and I think, I wonder if they actually looked at these four teams and figured out where they were going immediately after this pay-per-view because, I mean, what are we going to get? Are Morgan and Hernandez going to retain and defend against Generation Me? I would think that would be a bad idea. Are we going to get Beer Money against the Machine Guns? I'd be fine with that. Maybe that's the direction they're going. I don't know. Morgan and Hernandez against the Machine Guns, I don't like that match. In fact, I could have sworn that Morgan and Hernandez destroyed the Machine Guns recently on TV, but things blend together, so I could be wrong, but I think that Generation Me and the Machine Guns will be awesome, and Morgan and Hernandez against Beer Money, not so sure, and we're going to talk about these matches and more. We have to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment with more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. And we are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour and a half, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and a lot of stuff to talk about on this weekend before WrestleMania weekend. in which both Mike and I will be in various places around the country. I'll be in Glendale, Arizona for the entire WrestleMania weekend. Mike is going to be in Newark, I believe, for the UFC pay-per-view. And we're going to be covering all of it at WrestlingObserver.com. You can always head over there for all the latest in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news. We have daily news updates, TV reviews. And if you love this radio show and you only hear it one time per week, head to WrestlingObserver.com right now. Scroll down to the right-hand side of the page. There's a list of our latest 5 free radio shows. There's a free edition of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. There's a free edition of the Tough Talk MMA show. There's a free edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, a free edition of last week's Wrestling Observer Live, and a free edition of the Brian and Vinny show. 5 free shows, 5 hours of audio content for free at WrestlingObserver.com right now. Listen to it. If you like what you hear, consider signing up for the website. It's only $10 a month, and we do daily radio shows. And if you have a commute, if you go to the gym and like to listen to audio, wherever you like to listen to your stuff, whether it be on the iPod, on your computer, whatever the case might be, in your car, WrestlingObserver.com will give you all of the MMA and wrestling audio that you could possibly handle. And in fact, aside from the new shows we do every single day, if you sign up, you get access to our full archives, which date back to 2005. We have thousands and thousands of radio shows in the archives, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio, all up there at WrestlingObserver.com. And later on tonight, in fact, immediately after this show, I'm going to be doing live running play-by-play of the TNA pay-per-view. So you can check that out at the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play of UFC on Versus, also on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And then next weekend, we're going to have reports on all of the different shows, Dragon Gate and ROH in Phoenix. We're going to have information and rundowns of WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame, the UFC show. All of it up at WrestlingObserver.com. It is your number one source for pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news. Check it out. And, of course, we're back to the program here every Sunday, not only at WrestlingObserver.com, but on Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 122 and Sports Byline USA. We've been talking about the TNA pay-per-view and the Ultimate X match and the tag team match. And, Mike, what are you thinking about those two? Where is it leading?
The only place I would hope it would be leading is the Motor City Machine Guns and Beer Money. I think they actually go full. They go through with what they have been teasing with Morgan and Hernandez to split them up. I mean, Generation Mead got bounced around last week, and they just, Beer Money is good. I'm not as big on the Young Bucks as a lot of other people are. So I do hope it's the Motor City Machine Guns because they've been probably, they're arguably the most underutilized guys there. So I'm hoping this thing ends up with Beer Money and the Motor City Machine Guns. But again, this is something that we're paying for that probably should have been taken care of on TV. And if you weren't going to take care of it on TV, at least take care of the teams better, because in the last 2 weeks you had the guns being completely superfluous in a match where the Generation Me got destroyed.
And there's more. 9 matches on this pay-per-view. We've got Tara versus Daphne for the TNA women's title. Originally on the website, they billed this as a first blood match. Yes, a first blood match with the women, and they have since taken that off. I guess they decided that, well, we didn't build it up on television, so why just put it on pay-per-view? And it's actually a problem that TNA is going to run into, and maybe they figured it out, but WWE does not do blood. And in fact, on Raw Monday, Kofi Kingston kicked Batista in the head and bloodied him up. And the referee began putting on the rubber gloves to take care of the cut. And Batista shot him a look to basically say, if you go to work on this cut, I will cut you. And so we had a little bit of blood on Raw, but it's very, very rare. And TNA is going the opposite direction where, well, WWE doesn't do blood, so we're going to do blood. We're going to make ourselves different and do blood. Now, obviously, it's good to differentiate yourself from WWE. And in a sense, if the competition doesn't do blood and you use blood in a safe manner, but in a smart manner where it's used when you need it to further angles and that sort of thing and build sympathy and that sort of deal, that's all great. But on Monday night's Impact, I mean, they had blood in the opening segment And then they had blood again in another segment in the same hour. It gets to a point where you have so much blood on your show that nobody cares anymore. And who, I mean, really, this is not a sexist comment. Who wants to see two women bleeding? I really don't. I've said this before, but I find blading to be somewhat barbaric. I mean, you are taking a razor blade and you're slicing open your forehead. And there's just something about the idea of women disfiguring themselves. I mean, I'm actually the reverse of a sexist in the sense that I usually feel that women in general are smarter than men. Men do stupid things far more regularly than women do. And to see women doing something so stupid astounds me. Why would you cut your forehead open with a blade? I could see a stupid guy doing it, but women doing it just, I don't want to see it, and I don't know. And thank God they're not doing it. That's all I've got to say.
Well, the jaw-dropping things about like All Japan Women's, as great as the work was, it would make me cringe to see these women just blade and have these Muda-esque blade jobs in the way that they would. And and if Lou Fisto and Mickey Knuckles, I guess, both do this, and it appeals to a certain amount of people. But, Gina Carano and the advent of women's MMA, women's boxing is, increased a lot. And, I think people now more than ever are more used to women fighting. But even then, I think it's still one of those things that makes a lot of people cringe. And it's one thing to see them fighting. It's another thing to see, full blade jobs. It just doesn't matter. It's two women blading is a little bit too much, although they have been doing blood too much on TNA anyway, which I guess the Sheik is booking again.
And finally, for the TNA Global title, Rob Terry will be facing Brutus Magnus. What a battle.
A main event in any town.
A main event in any country.
Yes.
It's the global title.
Rob Terry is still big and huge, so Rob Terry wins.
I can't argue. Let's do a bunch of the email questions here, and then we'll get into some more news. We didn't get to do a lot of the email questions last week. I apologize. We've been flooded with them the last couple of weeks, so if you send in an email, it doesn't get read, send it in the week after, and we'll try to get to it here on the program. This person wants to know, where is Scott Steiner? Scott Steiner was actually at the Impact tapings a couple of weeks ago, and he showed up. And he apologized to Ric Flair for all those mean things he said about him in WCW. Ric Flair is one of those guys where, I don't want to compare him to like a cockroach, because it's a terrible thing to compare, but the guy's going to be around until he's not around no more. So everybody in this business should learn that if you're going to bury Ric Flair, pretty much you just shouldn't bother, because the day's probably going to come where he's the centerpiece of a promotion again. He's probably going to be 75 years old and still a main event heel manager somewhere, and you're going to be the guy that buried him 10 years ago, and you're going to be out of a job as a result. So I think that's essentially the story with Scott Steiner, and it sucks to be him. And he actually asks about the NWO reunion tonight with Hall doing the Horseman turn on Eric. It actually would be Nash. But I don't blame you for confusing them, because it is very confusing. All right, this person says, regarding Impact's ratings, considering the crappy ratings, what are the chances of Russo getting replaced soon? As well-known, Dixie loves him, but both Bischoff and Hogan have been vocal in the past about feeling he's clueless. Surely the low rating will force him to implement some changes. It's a fascinating question. Let's talk very briefly about Impact. So they went head-to-head 2 weeks ago, as we noted, and they did a 1 to Raw's 3.4, I believe, and the Hogan Flair match got obliterated. So then it comes out this past Monday night, in the second week of the Monday Night Wars, Raw did a 3.8, I believe, and Impact, this is the important number, Impact did a 0.8. 0.8. That ain't good. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that 2/10 of the audience watched Raw instead because of the Bret Hart deal? Does that mean that the average Impact audience is going to be a 0.8 on Monday, and it only reached a 1 because Hogan and Flair wrestled? I mean, Mike, what do you make of this?
Well, next week is going to be, next week's going to be a better test, because this past week was taped, which obviously doesn't help matters. And, you know, the people who didn't like the show maybe last week who turned in just because they turned in on 1-4 and they wanted to watch it again, you know, maybe some of them dropped off too. But, you know, it's going to be hard to kind of judge it next week too just because it's the week before WrestleMania. So even though it's like, okay, well, it's not taped, they're going live and let's see if they learn from mistakes and all that, it's still going to be hard. I mean, a month from now, I think is going to really be, you know, obviously you can make a case to get rid of Russo at any time. But if, you know, depending on what happens after WrestleMania, which WWE, you know, tends to slag a little bit, kind of leading into the draft, I mean, give it 1 month and see where you're at. But, again, you can make a case to get rid of Russo and change things up at any time, and no one could complain about that. I mean, Raw started with a 3.9, and Impact started with an 0.87. So right there is, you know, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, but it started at a 0.8, so it started at basically a 0.9. And it ended at 8.7. I mean,
yeah,
not
was,
good.
Yeah, it was bad enough it started that way, but then he learned, you know, he lost 15% of the people from the start of that show.
I'll tell you what's astounding. I mean, say what you will about the 0.8 or everything like that, but this is what just blew my mind. So the first week head-to-head, they did a 1. 0.98, actually. And they replayed the show that Thursday, and they went from a 0.98 on Monday... Or 0.99, I'm sorry. 0.99 on Monday to a 0.97 on Thursday. Nearly an identical rating for the replay. And I thought, wow, did all of those Monday people just watch the show again? I can't even fathom you would want to watch that show twice. But so it was only going to be a one-time-only replay. But in the middle of the week, they decided, they did some goofy math, and they took the most watched 6 minutes of each show, and they added it together, and they claimed 5.6 million people watched both shows, and presumed nobody watched the show twice, and they did some goofy math, and Spike decided, hey, we're going to do this Impact replay again this week. So it does a 0.8 on Monday, and as God is my witness, on Thursday night, it did the exact same rating. What is going on? I mean, I listen, they didn't even do a 1 on Thursday. You know what I mean? They did the exact same number on Monday and Tuesday, 2 weeks in a row. That's creepy.
It really, honest to God, it really is, because we always would marvel at the fact that they, no matter what happened with TNA, for the most part, the numbers stayed exactly the same week after week after week, and it is freaky. It's going to be funny to see in the next upcoming weeks, because, you know, and you can make the case again, I think they should move it off of Spike or put it on a time where it needs to be recorded to try to force people into watching on Monday. But it's getting pretty freaky in that they've created zombies that they may just be tuning in twice.
Yeah,
they
but even
can't get enough.
Even talking about the you know, moving it so they have to watch it on Mondays, that's never worked in the past with TNA. It's The replay gets a number, and if you cancel the replay, none of those people watch the first run airing. We've actually got to head to a break. There's so much to talk about here. I've got more to say. We'll talk about it after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking about the rating, the TNA rating, and it's a short segment, and I've got a lot to say, but it's just astounding because, in fact, we'll talk about the overrun after this next segment here, but I just did want to mention very quickly that the TNA number on Monday night and Thursday night being identical, I mean, it's almost kind of scary because it's like, if you presume that the Monday night did a 0.8 because a lot of people chose Raw over Impact for one night, why didn't Thursday do a 1? Why didn't it do the same number like it did the week before, but then add those people that didn't watch Raw? I mean, it's... How is it doing the exact same number? I mean, it was one thing to do it on week 1, but on week 2? And I should also note that this is not official in any way. And as soon as Eric Bischoff hears about this, he's going to go on his Facebook and deny it. But to me, having Predator, or whatever the movie was, Predator, scheduled for Thursday night, and them canceling it and opting to do the Thursday Impact replay instead, That, to me, is Spike TV and Impact's way of setting the table for a full-time return to Thursday nights. I don't know what the over-under was and how many weeks it was going to be before Impact was no longer on Mondays, but I think whatever it was, the people that voted sooner rather than later are probably going to end up correct. I don't see Impact being long on Monday nights at this point.
Disappointing maybe to a lot of people, but, you know, not a dumb idea.
No, we mentioned it. I mean, we talked about this for weeks now. I mean, all this BS about it's the night, it's not the night. SmackDown, in fact, here's a stat for you. SmackDown 2 weeks ago did less viewers than the January 4th Monday night Impact. So you can't tell me that they can't do 3 million viewers on a Thursday night. They can, they just don't. For a number of reasons, but it's not the night. We're going to head to the top of the hour break. We'll be back after the, about 7 minutes from now. We'll be talking more pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, taking your phone calls and emails and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live, here for Hour 2, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 122, Sports Byline USA, and WrestlingObserver.com, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, taking your phone calls and emails, talking all the news. This is a rather short segment, so I just want to wrap up our talk we began in the last hour about the TNA Impact ratings head-to-head, the new Monday Night War. Impact this past Monday not only did a 0.8, but the main event of the show, Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles, did a 0.72 rating going up against the Vince McMahon-Bret Hart contract signing. And in the overrun, it only bumped from a 0.72 to a 0.74. And if you consider all the people that tuned in at 11 o'clock to watch whatever was on after Impact, that means that Impact dropped even further from a 0.74. An astounding number, especially when you keep in mind that last year, Jeff Hardy, based on Google Trends and merchandise sales and a lot of other stuff, he was the hottest star in all of professional wrestling. And you put him in TNA and he does a 0.72 quarter. It's shocking. Or is it?
It's really, really not. It's kind of hilarious, though, that 25,000 people tuned in for the overrun of Impact. And, yes, maybe they wanted to see Blue Mountain State, whereas when it came to the 897,000 people that tuned in, they wanted to see what would happen with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, and Vince McMahon. The 897 Impact averaged about 1 million viewers for the whole show.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that yet, but very quickly, the Bret Hart-Vince McMahon contract signing, it did go pretty much exactly as we'd predicted. Bret got Vince to sign the contract. Vince noted it was ironclad. It could not be broken. He'd sue Bret for everything he had. And Stone Cold went up the ramp and then said, oh, I forgot to tell you one thing, but I'll let Bret tell you. And Vince turned around in his chair, and sitting there on the table on the contract signing was Bret Hart's cast, because he had, in fact, screwed Vince McMahon. I know I spent about 30 seconds talking about it, but it was a phenomenal angle. I just thought they did such a great job. And Mike, we'll get your thoughts on that, but we have to head to the top of the hour break. We'll talk about that. We'll take your phone calls, emails. We've got a lot of news and a lot of fun stuff coming up. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, taking your phone calls and emails for the next hour on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And Mike, the Bret Hart-Vince McMahon contract signing on Raw, I thought it was a home run. What did you think?
Oh, God, absolutely. I mean, the best part of that was, you know, how simple. You know, they didn't have to do anything crazy. It's just what we hoped would happen and what made the most sense, you know, did actually happen. And then you turn around and just that very simple look on Bret Hart's face, just staring back at Vince McMahon and Vince doing the little Adam's apple. That's as easy as you, perfect, perfect. That's exactly what you wanted to do. And sometimes it's just that simple.
We're going to run down the entire card for WrestleMania 26. There have been some changes. some new information coming out about who is going to be doing various things on the show, including some information on Jim Ross. We'll get to that in just a moment. But let's get into some of the email questions. We got a lot of people emailing, and I want to make sure we get into some of these here. Let's start with this one. In your opinion, would it benefit WWE to include some retro WWF-style presentation, either at WrestleMania or beyond? I'm thinking specifically Howard Finkel, the old WrestleMania theme, and the motorcades to the ring. I think the old WrestleMania theme, out the window. I don't think that most people would remember it, and I don't think that makes any difference. I do think that Howard Finkel should always, I don't want to say it every pay-per-view, although he probably should, but Howard Finkel should do the title matches and the main events at WrestleMania every year without fail. He just should. He's so great at his job, and you know, it's a tragedy that he's not out there doing it.
Yeah, actually, you know, that sort of stuff, it's like Jim Ross coming back to do WrestleMania. I mean, it's just one of those things that I would love, you know, every single year. And, you know, again, not the biggest single fan in the world, but it's one of those simple little things that you do and drop in there, you know, more than like some of the movable rings and stuff like that. I mean, that to me actually has a little bit more impact in keeping with history than any of the other stuff does. And if they didn't do it for 25, they're not going to do it for this one. I mean, maybe for another 30th or some sort of anniversary of WrestleMania, maybe they'll break out that sort of stuff again. But, you know, time changes and they try to keep up with the times.
Jim Ross did announce on his Twitter that he would not be at WrestleMania. He'd only be there as a fan this year. And I was actually told last week that he was going to be doing commentary in a three-man group, so I don't know if maybe they didn't tell him, or maybe this is some sort of deal to squash rumors and it'll be a surprise, or what the deal is, but I don't know. I really thought that he should be there. I think he would add a lot to the show, and hopefully when the day comes, he'll be sitting there at ringside. I guess it really doesn't matter all that much to me since I'll be watching live and I can't hear him anyway, but still, that's where Jim Ross belongs. I would love to see a deal where he did commentary for the pay-per-views, and then you just have your regular announce crew for Raw and SmackDown, because I don't think he wants to go on the road for all of those shows. And if you've got him there for the pay-per-views, I think that that's enough. He should be there for the go-home shows, because he's the best at hammering home angles. But if it's not going to happen, I would be fine with him just being there at pay-per-views.
Well, Jim Ross, Lance Russell, and Bob Cottle all out there. It's too bad that they can't actually do that, because, I mean, I don't know for what reason, the contract or whatever reason it could possibly be. Why not have, I mean, just for The Undertaker and Michaels alone, you know, maybe, okay, fine, next year at WrestleMania you don't have anything of that stature, fine, Jim Ross isn't there. But for matches like that, I think it makes sense for him to be there. It drives me nuts when they do this sort of petty stuff. I mean, you know, this is going to go down in history. You want these things to be repeated on your DVDs forever. Have the best do it.
We've got this person here who says, what does he say here? On Raw, Brett said to Vince he is 100%. Do you think we can expect the unexpected from him at WrestleMania? No. Do not expect the Bret Hart of old. I think that you can expect a decent match. I think he's a good enough worker, and they'll have enough smoke and mirrors that they can do some stuff. But don't expect too much from Brett.
No, yeah, lots of plunder, and you know, same thing with Vince too. I mean, it is what it is, and you know, that's it.
Yeah, we've also got this question here from Todd. I had a question about the fabled Sid Hogan leg drop kickout incident from Mania 8. Was Sid's exodus from the company a month or so after Mania a result of his kicking out of Hogan's signature move? I was also wondering about his departure in 97 following Mania 13. Why did he leave, considering how over he was getting, culminating at the Survivor Series bout with Shawn, in which he actually received cheers? He could have been the next big strong man Vince loved so much in the midst of the burgeoning Attitude era. What happened in 97? I'm trying to remember why he even left then. Was it softball season?
Was that was, I think, remember that he got made fun of for that. You know, I don't know what the exact, but like, as far as him being the next, he was always, he and Lex Luger were always the next big muscle guy that Vince and, you know, and WCW loved. It just, he was Sid Vicious.
He was, in fact, Sid Vicious. WrestleMania, The WrestleMania kickout spot and everything like that, I'd have to look at the timeline, but that may have been around the period. What year was WrestleMania 8? That may have been right around the time where he was released for, I believe, Warrior and Hogan. Both Vince believed they were on human growth hormone, and it was in the middle of the big steroid era where the government was cracking down, and Vince axed them.
Because that would have been 92, right? 92, 93?
Yeah, so that would have been the timeline would have been correct for that one right there. And, yeah, I think I'd have to go back and look through all of that there. We'll come back to this one. I may look some stuff up here while we do the show. But for sure, the early 90s, I know Sid at one point was fired, as was Warrior, because Vince believed that they were taking growth hormone. And that would be right around the time of WrestleMania 8. So there you go.
And possibly Bulldog, too, because Bulldog ended up in WCW after that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a real legit crackdown during that period. I mean, no joke, Vince was cracking down, and these were big stars with big physiques. So that was Sid was one of the unfortunate at that point. And then later on, he did have a lot of... I would bet that 97 was the softball, because I remember Jim Cornette burying him for the softball thing, and that was around the time that Jim Cornette was there. So there you go. This person wants to know about WrestleMania. Will a match have to be cut? The reason I ask is because last year the show had 9 matches and one had to be cut. First match on the show only went 20 seconds also. This year, most of the matches seem like they can go a really long time. Do you think a match will have to be cut from the main show to fit everything on it there? Well, we'll talk about the entire card here in just a moment. But yes, they do have 9 matches. Actually, you know what? They may have 10 matches now that I'm thinking about it. Because there are 9 listed, and they're going to be doing something with the women, I believe, as well. It is a 4-hour show, but... Yeah, we'll run down the card in the next segment, and we'll look about what might have to be cut out of that show. They may have to act some stuff. We'll see. But this person has a WrestleMania question. I want to know how many tickets are currently sold for this year's Mania, and if you think Undertaker and Michaels is going on last. I do think Undertaker and Michaels is going on last. I don't know the exact number of tickets sold right now. I think it was in the range of, they still had about 20,000 tickets left last I heard, maybe down to about 15. But I'm trying to think of how many the University of Phoenix Stadium. I think it holds about probably 60,000, I would think. Oh, let's see, 63,400, expandable to 72,000. I think they would have about 55,000 tickets sold at this point. If I can get an exact number, I will get it for you. But I would say right around 55,000, I would think, at this point. And, Mike, what do you think about going on last?
Yeah, it's got to be, like we talked about last week, it's got to be The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels for it to really make any sense. You know, again, it's what's going to follow it, and is it really fair to anybody involved that someone need to follow that? I just think that would it's just too crazy.
And then a million-dollar question here in many ways. How much money is Bob Carter willing to invest and lose in TNA? There has to be a time when he says enough is enough and basically closes up shop. Does he have much say in what money Dixie spends and how she spends? Of course, he has say in everything she spends. He's in charge. TNA is...
Hey, when Panda Energy starts losing money or it needs some cash for something, that seems to be when.
Yeah,
how much money's been spent so far, so how can you really say how deep the pockets are until something happens with the real bread and butter?
Let's talk about that when we come back from break. And we'll talk about WrestleMania as well. We'll run down the card, more phone calls and emails as well. But I got a lot to say about the Carter situation. So we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 45 minutes, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 122, Sports Byline USA, and of course, WrestlingObserver.com. Talking before the break about the Carter family, Bob Carter and Dixie and TNA and everything like that, and how much money will be lost before they pull the plug. And TNA is It's a strange situation now, because I talked about this last week. I mean, people talk about the death of WCW, why it died, and, you know, one of the excuses that folks in WCW give is, well, all these guaranteed contracts kill the company, And as we talked about on this show last week, guaranteed contracts didn't kill the company. Because there was a period where WCW was making a lot of money, and they were having no problem paying these guaranteed contracts. Trouble came when they stopped making money, and they still had those guaranteed contracts. They didn't have enough money to cover them, and they subsequently went out of business. Now, TNA is as noted, they've got a lot of guys in a contract right now. Like, I think 60 to 70 guys in a contract. And some of them are big-name guys, RVD, Jeff Hardy, Sting, Hogan, Flair. Where's the money coming from? And part of it is Spike TV is paying, they're helping out with a lot of these big deals. Like, they helped out for years with Sting. I'm sure they're helping out with Hogan, probably helping out with Flair. And so I don't think TNA is losing a lot of money right now. They're not making a lot of money. I'm not even sure at this point, when you look at all the people they've signed, I don't even think they're breaking even right now. But I don't think they're losing tons and tons of money. Now, there are a lot of questions. I mean, show's doing a .8 on Monday. Show's doing a .8 on Thursday. When does Spike TV go, okay, listen, we're not helping you out with Hogan and Flair anymore. We're not going to help you out with Sting. I mean, we're paying a lot of money for these guys. They doing jack for ratings. It's just not worth our money anymore. So, you know, at that point, does TNA try to take over those costs? Does TNA axe those guys? There are a lot of questions here that I can't answer. And I think that within the next 6 months, probably a lot of questions will be answered in a lot of different ways. So the answer to the question of when will they lose too much and when will they pull the plug, I don't know. But I do know that they're not making enough money on their own to pay for these contracts that they would have to pay for on their own. And so either Spike is going to continue to help or they're not. And then a lot of questions will be answered.
It's, you know, the thing with Spike, you know, the thing TNA's got to keep hoping for too. Don't acquire any, you know, really good licenses that will make our number look bad, you know, which I guess I'm not sure if there's any sports out there or anything like that, but you know, say Versus picks up the ACC college basketball package or something like that next year. You know, if you're, you know, what's going to get more ratings? Duke North Carolina game, you know, obviously that would be ESPN. But, you know, that sort of thing, or the Oak Point, whatever it's going to slip to or hover around that you're getting with TNA right now. You know, there's a lot of things that could be at play, and, you know, really the depth of the pockets of Bob Carter, is one of them.
Michael here says, are they planning on adding a Diva match to the card? Because the card seems full to me. In fact, I'm hoping the Legacy Triple Threat turns into a pre-show match or something. That won't happen, but yeah, they are. There was, I mean, the angle Monday night with the girls was designed for to put a women's match on the show at WrestleMania, and I don't know if they'll have time for it. We're going to run down the card here in a moment, but
they don't have time for it. You need a buffer there somewhere. They'll just chop something else a little shorter.
I guess you could do that, yeah. And he also says, Eric Bischoff ripped a fan this week on his MySpace for asking him about TNA ratings. Clearly, they're trying to play it off as if ratings are not that important. But when you give away Hogan, Flair, and Hardy Styles in two straight weeks, you reveal how desperate for ratings you truly are. Yeah, Eric actually, he snapped at a person. And I didn't think the guy was being a jerk. I mean, he just basically, I think he just asked what the rating was for the replay or something like that, and Bischoff just cut him a new one. He said, you need to get a life. And I was like, wow, someone is very sensitive here. Why would that be? There you go.
You know, they had to do, because realistically, if you think about it, that's what they should have said from the start. Was, look, it's not about the rating. This thing's going to take time. You know, it's going to take a long time to build up to where we want to be. Stick with us. But, you know, they have pot shots at, like, you know, they made pot shots at the camera, pot shots at the XFL, all that. The only thing you can compare the two on is content of show, which WWE is bearing them on, and the rating. You know, you kind of created this monster. Deal with it.
Steven here says, any updates on Shane McMahon other than the meeting he had with UFC? And do you think he'll probably just end up returning to WWE as it seems things maybe haven't taken off the way he might have expected? I don't picture a return to WWE anytime soon. I'm not saying it'll never happen. Few years down the road, who knows? But, you know, Shane is a McMahon. He's got tons of stock. He's got tons of money. He's not hurting. He's gonna check out all the different things he can. There's nothing new on the UFC front. They haven't made a deal. They've talked. I think talks went well, but not well enough that he's part of the company or anything like that. But down the road, it may happen, especially with the expansion of UFC. They're going to need more bodies that know what they're doing. And Shane, you know, I don't know about booking wrestling or being a performer, but certainly he's got good business sense in terms of international expansion and that sort of thing. So he'd be valuable for UFC, but nothing right now. And no, I don't expect him back in UFC anytime soon, or WWE, I'm sorry.
No, Shane McMahon's one of the luckiest guys in the world right now. I mean, he's got enough money. He's, you know, a relatively young guy. I guess, what, his early 40s. He's got a young family, and he gets to spend time with them and basically, you know, meet up with Dana White if he wants to and do little things, you know, at his leisure. So for right now, I mean, to me, you know, from this side looking in, he'd be crazy to actually do anything right now.
Speaking of divas, I hear you've got Wrestlicious on your Comcast now.
Yeah, apparently WWE 24/7 has dropped off unexplained for the time being. And I looked last night. I was watching the NCAA wrestling championships on ESPN. I'm going through the channels, and Showtime All Star Wrestling, the Reno Riggins promotion, all of a sudden was on there. And I go to turn that on, and instead it's Poker from Oklahoma. So I just kind of laugh that off. And I was going through the channels again, and Wrestlicious was on. So I flicked that on to see if it would actually be there, and it was. Wrestlicious episode number 3 has made its way to Comcast.
We actually have it on the front page of the website as well. There's an embeddable, you can go on the website, WrestlingObserver.com, find it and play it. And I haven't seen episode 3 yet, but apparently some people were very entertained by it. I saw all of episode 1. I just couldn't bring myself to watch episode 2. With everything I had to do last week, it did not fall into the priority category. But a lot of people seem to be amused by episode 3. Did you watch it, and what'd you think?
This is now must-see TV for me.
Oh, God.
Because it has now just put me back 20 years or even longer than that. Whenever GLOW was on, like on Saturday, I lived between Baltimore and Washington, so we had nothing but syndicated channels playing nothing but wrestling. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. So the weekends were spent with wrestling, and one of them being GLOW, and you watch this really bad, really campy, really stupid show that's got just enough to make you laugh. I mean, it's not a wrestling show. It is what it is, and it does make you laugh, maybe for all the wrong reasons, but, you know, you have the gratuitous, you know, they actually had the Wrestlicious takedown spotlight on Cousin Cassie, the down-home honey, which was just looped video of her on the beach in a bikini. So it's, you know, for what it is, perfect. It takes me back to those syndicated, you know, bad wrestling days. So it's actually amusing for what it is.
What does your wife think when you watch this program?
She just walks away and we'll go watch something of value.
Shakes her head.
Pretty much. She's stuck at this point with me, you know. So.
Yeah, understandable. Wrestlicious, everybody. Episode 3. I wonder if we'll ever get a season 2.
Well, my question is, how do they write off Serena Deeb's character, Paige Webb?
That's right. That's right.
Nerd.
Paige Webb.
You know what? After seeing her on there, you know, I can understand why she joined the Straight Edge Society. She needed some savings.
She, God, what do they have? There was a, I was trying to remember. I was looking at the lineup for episode 2, and I can't remember what it was. It was like she was in two matches or something weird, or I can't remember what it was, but I remember writing in the update, she gets around, and then that was before I realized that she was the same girl that's on SmackDown every week, so she does get around.
they had this girl, Autumn Frost, standing next to Jimmy Hart looking extra geeky. And they say, if you want to look as cool as us, you know, go to the website and buy the merchandise. I mean, they'll have that. And then the announcer, you know, in between the laugh track and the, you know, the Benny Hill style of announcing that he's doing, broke out of nowhere during a move, Shades of Lord Alfred Hayes, a reverse Tower of London. Where the hell did you pull that out of in between, you know, boob jokes?
I ask many questions when I watch that first episode. Let's do one more email here before we hit the break. Did either of you read any of the After Mags when you grew up, and are they relevant in today's wrestling world? I read them, and I cannot see a place for them, really, in today's wrestling world. The world has changed. The kayfabe magazines, it would be like Wrestlicious, actually. A few people would be greatly entertained, but the masses would not care at all.
Yeah, I mean, I had him from the early 80s on, you know, at the height of, you know, all of those magazines. But, I mean, yeah, the Cats way out of the bag as far as that goes. And the print medium in general is tough. I mean, you saw with WoW, tried to do something different and, you know, ended up being with the publisher, went out of business, and that sunk them. So, I mean, unless you're doing, unless it's like The Ring and there's only a handful of other magazines that really have a super big base, I mean, they're all going to start going away over time, just like newspapers.
And, I mean, the wrestling magazines as it is, I mean, if WWE magazine isn't doing all that great, I mean, I can't imagine a non-WWE-affiliated magazine doing all that well in 2010. But who knows? Maybe maybe someone will come along and shock me.
They'll have to do it. You know what, how they could do it? So only they could only do it electronically, like Kindle-like, because everything just moves too fluid now. But as that, as e-books and that sort of stuff start taking over, you really actually may have a shot to do it. But then again,
actually,
why
Mike,
would you
we've
do that when you can just join the Observer?
We gotta head to a break here very quickly. I hate to cut you off, but we'll be right back and talk about more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment on WrestlingObserver.com, the final long segment. We've got one more after this, a shorter one. We'll wrap the program up, but we were shilling the WrestlingObserver.com website. Brian Alvarez here, Mike Sempervivi as well, here for the next 20 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And Mike, continue your shill.
Well, you know, as time moves on, these things will become e-books and e-magazines, and they may be updated daily, but why would you want to read anything like that when for only $9.99? You can join the Wrestling Observer Figure Four Weekly Empire.
That's right.
Get all of the stuff that you could, you know, with the 5-3 radio shows, it doesn't even actually scratch the surface for as many great radio shows that are going to be on, including the return of Tough Talk and the return of Wrestling World with Doc Young and Les Thatcher.
Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling Weekly. Well, I'm sorry.
You were confusing Weekly. Wrestling magazines there.
That I was. But yes, Doc Young is going to be back with Les Thatcher, and that's going to be really cool too. So just even more added on to the already great Observer Figure 4 website.
Here you've made Doc Les, even more angry and bitter.
That's
the rumor.
Nope. People didn't think that it could be done, but yes, I try to do that weekly with Rich Tate on the GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com show we do with Mr. Thatcher.
Let's talk about WrestleMania. We've got a lineup here. And I want to run it down. We'll look at the show. This is our last chance to look at WrestleMania before the actual pay-per-view takes place. So let's check it out here. We've got the main event of the show, presumably Undertaker Shawn Michaels, no DQ, no countout. Undertaker puts his streak on the line against Michaels' career. Don't think we're going to be seeing much of HBK for the next several months, and it's kind of sad. But with the no countout, no DQ stips, they got a lot of smoke and mirrors to make this as good as, or perhaps, can they actually make it better than last year?
You know, it's going to be tough for it to be better than last year. And you know what, it doesn't have to be, because last year was it wasn't like a pleasant surprise. Everybody knew it was going to be good. But for it to be, you know, it was match of the year pretty much from the time, you know, the bell rang and it ended. And then continuing on, I mean, it was just, you know, so clearly head and shoulders above almost everything else. This one probably won't be like that, but the emotion may even be greater because of what's going into it. It's going to be interesting. I think Undertaker's going to win. It's going to be interesting to see, does Shawn Michaels leave that night? Does he go out the next night on Raw? Does he get beaten up by Triple H the next night on Raw? It's going to be interesting to see how he goes out, or if they do something mystical where it's, you know, the Druids come out and drag Shawn Michaels away or something like that, too. So I think the emotion could end up being a lot better, and it doesn't have to be as good as last year. It's just going to be good.
We've got Batista and John Cena for the WWE title. They've had some really good promos. Although this past week, I was not blown away on Raw. I don't even really remember what they did, actually, which I don't know if that says something for me or says something for WWE, but still the second major singles match between the two. They haven't really played it up enough. Maybe they will tomorrow, that Batista did in fact break John Cena's neck in their first match. But hopefully they have a great promo tomorrow to hammer this thing home. But that is the match for the WWE Championship. And at WrestleMania, should be at least a solid match.
yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to that too. I think just last week it was so. The past 2 weeks without Bret Hart being there, you know, it's been all about Cena and Batista. So last week it was going to be the all, you know, leading all up to Vince and Bret. But I think they do a lot more this week, and I'm actually really looking forward to that match, probably more than I really should.
We've got Edge, Chris Jericho for the World Heavyweight Championship. This one to me is underperformed. I expected so much more from both guys. I expected more in the promos. Didn't really get it. Just kind of, I don't know. Something is missing. I don't know what it is. Maybe the promos are just too by the numbers. I don't know. I just have not been blown away by this. I think the match is probably going to be pretty damn good. But the build for it is especially this past, you know, I went to SmackDown tapings 2 weeks ago live. And they did either a cutting edge or a highlight reel. I can't remember, but one guy had the other guy as the guest. And then they switched it up on SmackDown Friday. And I just felt like I watched this last week, this exact same thing. So haven't been blown away by it.
Yeah, and I don't really think it's been bad or anything. Like, I think just
no, they're not wrong with it.
Oh, no, yeah, it's just the other three big matches, I think, have been, you know, they've been so, you know, they've been glowing a lot more than this has, where it's just, you know, it's just kind of a victim of being, you know. And honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that this was played up with Edge winning the Royal Rumble and the fact that it was going to be the main event spot at WrestleMania, you know, they open a lot of pay-per-views with title matches, and, you know, it's not a big deal anymore as far as where the title match is placed. If it wasn't for those stipulations, I honestly, God, I would actually open with that match.
They would probably be opening with Money in the Bank ladder match. I've heard rumors of opening with the tag match, but just kind of have this feeling that ladder match is probably going to open it. But regardless, Christian, Dolph, Kane, Shelton, Swagger, MVP, Matt Hardy, Evan Bourne, Drew McIntyre, 9 guys, hopefully not a cluster. They're very much playing it up like Drew's probably going to win the way he's backdoored his way into the match. And I think this match is probably going to be pretty damn good. I'm not feeling it really in the sense that it's not like one of those matches I'm mostly looking forward to, because I don't know. They're doing a Money in the Bank pay-per-view in a couple of months. I guess maybe they could do a deal where Christian wins and cashes it in on Edge after Edge wins the title and then screws him and Christian goes heel. You could do something like that. I guess if they did that, that would certainly shake things up quite a bit. But other than that, I don't know, Drew McIntyre with a guaranteed title shot, he has done nothing for me of late.
No, I mean, it's, you know, he hasn't been as dynamic as they, you know, at least he doesn't come across that way to me at all. But I still have a feeling, though, they're going to set something up for later on for that Money in the Bank. I think McIntyre ends up winning the thing, but I think they do something with Christian or somebody else where they do create some doubt for further down the line and something that they can bring up at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I just think that if they're doing the annual pay-per-view and they're, you know, they're doing the annual pay-per-view, they're no longer doing it at WrestleMania, this is the last chance that a guy can win it at a WrestleMania and cash it in the same night. And when I look at all the guys in title matches, I don't know, who does Drew McIntyre steal the belt from? Edge? I don't like the idea of an Edge-Drew McIntyre feud. I would much rather see Christian. It's probably not going to happen, but maybe they'll do the swerve and it will happen. Christian and Edge, you know, they've obviously got a lot of history and they're brothers in storyline. So I'd much rather see that, but we may get McIntyre and Edge. And since Edge and Christian ain't going on last, you could do that angle and you wouldn't end the show with it. So I guess that would be my prediction there, and we'll see what they end up doing, but not, I don't know, I look at some of the names in here, and, you know, Dolph, I'm sure he's going to take some stupid bumps, but not really I don't know if he's going to be a great ladder match guy. Kane is just going to stand there. Swagger is a good worker, but I don't know about ladder matches. MVP, Drew, both kind of ground-based guys. Matt Hardy will do a couple of stupid things, and you're basically relying on Evan Bourne, Shelton Benjamin, and Christian to do all the flying, and maybe I'm jaded here. I've seen a lot of ladder matches. I've seen a lot of Money in the Banks. This one is not, I'm not overly excited for this one.
Well, when you go through all those guys, you say, who's got a legitimate chance to win? It's like, well, Christian, Drew McIntyre, you know, Bourne, no, Swagger, no. You know, Ziggler, no. So it's like, you know, there's only two guys, and I can, you know, see them setting something up with, what brand is Christian on Raw or on SmackDown?
I think he's SmackDown.
So that would make sense, too. If you have somehow McIntyre screws over Christian, and maybe you do Christian McIntyre for a while, leading into McIntyre and Edge later on.
Could do that, yeah. Got the tag match, Morrison and R-Truth against Big Show and The Miz. This is one that I picture going about 4 minutes. I don't see him giving it a lot of time. You don't need a lot of time. It's a tag team match on the pay-per-view, and probably Big Show and Miz retaining, but who knows? Maybe it's WrestleMania. Send the kids home happy. Morrison and Truth win. Who knows? But not much to it.
They really want to send this kid home happy. Have Tyson Kidd and Harry Smith win it, because you could make sense out of that.
Could, yeah. They're not on the card.
Somehow added into it. It would be nice.
Hunter and Sheamus. It's kind of weird because I don't picture Hunter not getting a lot of time, but then again, how much time does this match need? There's no title on the line. I'd guess
another one that could open the show.
Yeah, maybe 12 minutes. Depends on where they want to go. I mean, I guess Sheamus should win if you want to elevate the guy, but for some reason, I don't know. Maybe he does, and maybe they have a feud. I don't really have a prediction here. It does not seem like there's much riding on it or it's all that important. I guess the big question will be, if Sheamus loses, does Hunter, you know, make him lose in a way that Sheamus looks like a geek, or do they have a competitive match and Hunter squeezes it out, or maybe does Sheamus win? It's more interesting to see how they book it than who actually wins.
Yeah, I actually like the idea of Sheamus winning, too, because I would assume that would, further down the line, set up Triple H going dirty and Randy Orton, which they have not done a good job, obviously, and we'll get to that match, too, at all, as far as, you know, he should right now be a huge babyface, and he's not. And, you know, one of the ways you could do that is Triple H going dirty, which I can see coming down the line here.
Then we've got the Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase three-way. Why is a triple threat match? I have absolutely no idea. Why anybody would want to see this match, I have absolutely no idea. Randy Orton, his promo, said he doesn't take the guys seriously. This has been a disaster.
Yeah, Randy Orton's gotten some WrestleMania Raw deals here in the last couple of years. You know, just victim of circumstance, and this has just been another one of those things. I mean, it's, you know, Ted DiBiase Jr. had to be treated kind of with kid gloves anyway, as far as how people would take him after the feud. I think they've done a terrible job with him. You know, Cody's going to be Cody, but then it's, you know, I can understand the logic they have of why this would be a three-way with everybody going after each other, but there's, you know, it's, they haven't really given you enough of a reason on TV to really be excited about it.
And finally, Rey Mysterio and CM Punk. As it is right now, the stipulations are, if Punk wins, Rey has to join the Straight Edge Society. And perhaps, I don't know, there's still one more show left. Perhaps Punk will agree to put his hair on the line for some reason. And the original idea, obviously, was mask versus hair. They've dropped the mask stipulation. I guess probably figuring that nobody will believe that Rey is going to win if he puts the mask on the line, which, I don't know. Put the mask on the line, for God's sake. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens. They've done a phenomenal job. I was not blown away by Friday, but prior to this Friday, I thought they've done a fantastic job with this program, and I'm very much looking forward to the match. They work great together, and this could theoretically be one of the show stealers.
Yeah, and you know, there's another one too with, you know, Jericho and Edge. I mean, the Punk Mysterio stuff on SmackDown was amazing. I didn't get a chance to see it last week because of basketball actually airing in its spot. So I, you know, watching it this week was just jaw dropping. And you know, Mysterio's daughter Aaliyah is, you know, again a fantastic actress, if nothing else, at 9 years old. If she was actually acting there, but that stuff's been phenomenal, and I'm fine with it not being mask versus hair because this should continue.
Yeah, there is still time to put the mask of the hair on the line.
Punk's got to go back and shave some more heads, though, too. They got to get back into that head-shaving thing, but do it against somebody's will, which will lead to, I think, Mysterio in the mask.
Yeah.
You know, like, forcing him to watch it by joining the Straight Edge Society, and the only way he can get out is by putting the mask up. Another one that, you know, again, that's a pretty simple thing to do that people will get into.
Punk should have shaved Dominic's head last week.
And, you know, there's still time to do that. And, again, you know, unlike, you know, Ric Flair and David Flair, and when they did all this mess in WCW or the joke of Foley and Bischoff this past Monday night, I mean, that is going to create, you know, angry heat, and that would actually be fantastic.
We got to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here to wrap up this week's show, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. Immediately following this program, head to WrestlingObserver.com. I'm going to be doing live running play-by-play of the TNA Designation X pay-per-view, and Dave Meltzer will simultaneously be doing live play-by-play of the UFC on Versus show. So you can follow both shows right now by heading to WrestlingObserver.com. And of course, it's a big week coming up, week three of the Monday Night Wars. Tomorrow night is Raw versus Impact, both shows live. What is TNA going to be pulling out of their hat tomorrow night to go head-to-head with the go-home show for Raw heading into this weekend's WrestleMania show? At Glendale, Arizona, the University of Phoenix, I believe it's at. And hope it is, because I'm going down there. I'll be there for that show. Mike, of course, will be in Newark for the UFC show, George St. Pierre versus Dan Hardy. It's head-to-head, and that one's going to be interesting. The battle UFC versus WWE on WrestleMania weekend. Will WrestleMania actually hurt a UFC pay-per-view, or vice versa? Or will it be that one weekend every year where fans just decide, you know what, it's only one weekend a year, we're going to buy both of these pay-per-views. So that's coming up, of course, and a lot of other news and information as well. You can always head to WrestlingObserver.com and follow it. Daily news updates leading up to the big shows of the year. Lots of radio shows as well covering all of the events. We got a special coming up this week. We're going to be talking to former WWE creative writers on Figure Four Daily. If you want to find out what went into putting together WrestleManias, what they think is going to happen at WrestleMania this year, former WWE writers are going to be on the show this week at WrestlingObserver.com. This coming Sunday's show, head-to-head with Mania, since both Mike and I will be gone, is probably going to be a taped show, but you can tune in to find out. And if not, we'll be back in 2 weeks live with more. I want to thank everybody for listening. Head to WrestlingObserver.com for more. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.